When I think about that day, when I think about her, it is her hands that I remember the most. Long patrician fingers, the nails shaped into a smooth arc, filed with a care that even to this day baffles me. The muted pink of them so perfectly applied. The blood that had worked its way into the creases of her fingers, ghoulish and macabre, besides the effortless glamour. I remember the way her fingers clutched mine, those perfect nails raking at my palm, as if I represented the final rung on a falling ladder, and that by holding on to me, she could hold on to a rapidly disappearing life. Perhaps that was true. Perhaps that was precisely what I was to her. I think about that a lot, you know, about what else I could have done. Had I realised then what I was dealing with? Had I understood just how it would go? Could things have been different? There was so much blood. Her throat had been sliced open, the wound a sick mimicry of a smile. The blood spilled out of her in a relentless cascade, and that was without the rest of it, without the battery of puncture wounds that had pierced her torso and her arms. It had begun like any other day, but then don't they all? The moment before your world changes is just a moment like any other, only becoming notable in the aftermath. It was cold, but the kind of skittish cold that April brings, with the faintest suggestion of warmth lurking just over the horizon. The sun still sat low, as if it were considering beating a hasty retreat, not fully committed to the day ahead yet. I knew the feeling well. I hadn't been sleeping, or rather I had, but in bursts and starts, so that when the time came to wake, it would always feel as if I hadn't slept at all. I picked up my pace, my trainers padding against the tarmac. The wind blew, a huff of cigarette smoke sweeping into my face, causing my eyes to prick, my throat to contract, and my gaze found the smoker. A young man, early 20s maybe, narrow arms protruding from beneath a thin T-shirt, leaning against the front wall of a youth hostel. Our eyes met, his gaze roaming approvingly across me. To be fair, he was on my good side. I winked at him, a show of bravado, glorifying in his ignorance of what was hidden. This isn't important, or rather it is, because it explains everything. Rampant insomnia and a resolutely hurried step pushed faster by unknowing stares. That was it. That was why I was there within 90 seconds of the call coming in. Why it was me and not somebody else. Why we sit here today. I had set out to work early, reframing my insomnia as enthusiasm for life and the day ahead. Had decided against the Northern Line, telling myself that the walk would do me more good, even with the chill in the air, that the still empty streets would revive me so that once I got to the police station, I would have the energy to spend yet one more day being Detective Sergeant Alice Parr. London in the mornings can do that, you know, the potency of it. The silence before the storm. Only it turned out that that silence was too loud. The sound of my feet, their beat upon the pavement, the abiding groan of traffic edging in on me, swamping me. And so I turned my airwave radio on so that I could feel the weight of it, hear the thrum of life through it. DS Parr, reporting for duty. I remember the moment the call came over the radio. Stabbing reported in Brunswick Square Gardens, just off Hunter Street. It took me a moment to translate the words into a reality, to orient myself. Woburn Place, 2 minutes away. I started to run. I remember taking a hard left, my jacket flapping uselessly, the wind whipping at my face, and I blush to remember this now, feeling that surge of adrenaline, it bubbling up in me so that a distant and deeply unprofessional part of me wanted to laugh. I didn't. I've been doing this long enough. I rounded the corner onto Brunswick Square, seeing up ahead an old woman. She appeared to be dancing. Of course, that made little sense, but my first awareness of her was of a dark figure pirouetting, silhouetted against the wrought iron fence of the park, a golden retriever on a lead being co-opted as a reluctant partner. Then she saw me, and the pirouetting stopped, and she began to wave, not like a, hi, how are you, wave, but instead a, help me, I'm drowning, one.